listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 200 Fox Sports radio stations nationwide. 6 o'clock on the East Coast, drive time, 3 here in Vegas. It's Friday. It's football season. That means pick palooza. What does that mean? Well, you're going to have to find out, but it involves picks. Speaking of pickers, we got the pros who know. Steve Fezzik. Well rested, tanned, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you cannot have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on a Friday here on Straight Outta Vegas. And we start in the NFL and we go to Thursday Night Football. Week 2 underway and an upset already as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go on the road and take care of the Carolina Panthers. 20-14 in Carolina.
So last goal line type, end of the game type play, right? Yep. Could have went either way. And it goes to show you, obviously, the spread wasn't at risk if you had the dog. And maybe that's where I start, Fez. If you have a situation where the home team, when favored on Thursday night, does so well, and it was over 60%.
62%.
Over 30 years. Obviously, there's all the games. It's been these Thursday night games in the recent past, and then we had the Thanksgiving games prior to that. So history tells us the home team favorite has a big advantage and they still lose and they still don't even come close to covering. Remember, at 62% against the spread, that tells me Carolina way, way, way underperformed. What did you think?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And a big part of it, Cam Newton. Now, you mentioned, I heard the show yesterday, RJ. You said, you know what? We don't know about Cam Newton. He had that injury week 3 of preseason. I'm not sure if he's 100% healthy. We'll find out, maybe. Well, now we've got 2 weeks of data where Cam Newton has 5 rushes only on the year, 0 rush yards. Clearly, in my eyes, Cam is not running the ball, and I think that's a sign that he's not 100% healthy.
So that actually is a great point. So think about in the financial sector, stock market, there's the concept leading indicator. And what does that mean? It means it's something. Might be soybean prices. It might be how much a haircut is. There's all these theories that once you see this, it will tell you about what's down the road. And you're saying Cam's running, when he's running and running effectively, not only helps on the field. So if he's not running, that's a bad sign. Or it's not a bad sign, it's a bad result initially, right? But then it's a bad sign that he's probably not feeling healthy.
Exactly. And they needed him to run. You talked about the failed fourth down. What do we see from Carolina in the past? What did we see? That 4th-and-1, he does the Superman. He jumps over the line, gets the first down, extends the football. None of that. Last night, Carolina, 3 fourth downs, 0-for-3.
And Cam carried how many of them?
He carried on one of them.
And not effectively.
Not effectively. And then the last one, think about it. Game on the line, on the goal line.
Colin talked about this at length. Okay. No. I wasn't saying don't talk about it. I was saying I think you're on to something. Finish your point.
Yeah, so all the analytic guys love the quarterback sneak when it's 4th-and-1 because it's so hard to stop. And so you expect that if your quarterback's at all healthy. Instead, they run pretty much a trick play. Doesn't work.
And I think the case could be made Brady's success on sneaks is a sign that it's not physical superiority, but it's something else, right? That allows these quarterback sneaks to be effective. Cam, though, has, you know, runs in or has historically run in difficult or high leverage spots, important spots often. And that's an important concept. When there's a must-win game, and is it really must-win when they're going to be 0-2? Maybe not, but it's a big game. Oftentimes, running quarterbacks run more when the stakes are higher. Why? Because it's effective, but there's a cost. The cost is taking hits, and maybe that's going to be a compounding cost over the season, or it could be the risk of injury, a big hit that is a big injury. So you run when the stakes are high. And the fact that in a game that was an important one on national television, Cam not running is a leading indicator that he's not feeling great. Now, Colin makes a good point, too. These are the types of quarterbacks in his mind, but I tend to agree. Cam never struck me as a attention to detail guy. He never struck me as, guys, I can't go to Cabo this weekend because I'm going to be studying film. Now, let's agree. To be an NFL quarterback at any level of performance, of achievement, not to mention an MVP, right? Cam, former MVP, you probably are working harder than 99% of people, right? Even the ones that are perceived not to be hard workers. But Tom Brady's working harder than, you know, maybe one in a million, right? Not one in 100. So, yeah, Cam, amazing athlete. Yeah, Cam works really hard. But relative to the other quarterbacks in the league, not so much.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guys, we do have more in the NFL. We've got our three biggest games in the NFL. This is a Friday tradition here on Straight Outta Vegas. And we're going to start with the big one, a rematch of the NFC Championship, a 4:25 Eastern Time kickoff on Fox. The Saints are at the Rams. LA is a 2-point favorite on pregame.com.
So remember, this is not about picks. This is about giving your handicapping take on the game. And it may be a pick. You may have a lean. You may have a like. First game, Rams.
Yeah, let's talk about a trend here. The Saints have never prioritized football early in the year, and they've done very poorly.
Hold on a second. What is our proof of the lack of prioritization?
They're against the spread in straight-up records.
So you're saying the only way they could possibly perform poorly is because they're not trying hard enough.
All right, maybe another reason.
All right, so let's just say this. Historically, and the stat specifically is six seasons, counting this season. In the first 2 weeks, there's been 11 games, and they've won two of the 11 straight up, one against the spread.
Correct.
All right, so it could be prioritization. It could be who knows what. All we know is underperformed early the Saints.
Correct. Second factor, let's take a look at the Super Bowl loser, Rams. They were in a really bad spot last week. You've got the Super Bowl hangover week one, where they went on the road against Carolina, and the Rams rested all their starters, or a big chunk of them, in preseason.
So just to say, the Super Bowl hangover is a trend that says if you lose in the Super Bowl, and then you play, you certainly will play, your first game the next season, you tend to underperform. What's the stat?
It's currently 5-15 against the spread.
All right, which is a pretty big number. I mean, it's a sign it might mean something. The Rams, like you said, Goff didn't take a snap in the preseason. They seemed rusty on offense because of it. Still had the lead at halftime, right?
Still came out with the cover.
And still covered. So you're saying it's almost like someone's running a marathon. They got 5-pound weights. Let's call it 1-pound weights in their shoes, and they still get third. You're like, oh, they could have won maybe, right?
Exactly.
All right, so they had both the rest and the Super Bowl hangover first game the next season saying Rams looked even better than that slight cover they had.
Yes, so right. Buy sign up on the Rams.
I like this handicap. Now, lines three. A lot of people might say, what?
I meant to say
should be three.
Yes.
And maybe even 3.25. We'll talk about that. But at two, to me, I'm thinking, okay, so for that to be right, the Saints have to be better. I think most people agree power rating wise, they're pretty close, right?
Yes, and I have them equal.
All right, perfect. That's as close as you can get. So now you think about it and say, well, if the Rams don't have a great home field, which they don't, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, how's the Saints do on the road? Now, some people, those myopic, short-sighted, will say, well, last season, RJ, 7-1 on the road straight up. And I'd say, interesting. In the prior six seasons, zero winning seasons on the road. So well below 500, though they had many, many good years during that span. So I think Saints are about the same below average on the road as the Rams are below average at home. I think that evens out. You've got even teams. You've got a pro Rams with the limitations, the hindrances they had last week. You've got an anti-Saints due to their early season troubles. I think this line could be over 3 fairly. The fact it's 2, it's one of my bets. It's going to be one of our Super Contest picks. You like it that much too, right?
I look that way. My only concern.
Whoa! Look that you just made a hell. You just made a better case for this than about 90% of your picks.
Fair enough. The reason it's only a strong lean is it's arguably the revenge game of the year for this.
I disagree. 150%. I said your idea about the Saints having a motivational edge. And the theory is you're very simple-minded, first-level thinking. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I didn't try to say it like that. Is that they lost last year, so they're going to be mad. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the question. Don't the Rams have as much to lose? Because what happens if the Rams lose this game? What's the narrative? Because the Saints want redemption for a reason, right? What do they want to prove?
That it wasn't a fluke.
That last year was a fluke is what the Saints want.
Right. And the Rams want to prove they were the legit Super Bowl team.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So who has the motivational edge? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Guys, we go now to another game in the NFL, a 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoff on Fox. It is the Vikings at the Packers. Green Bay, a 2.5-point favorite.
Fez, what do you think?
You know, I lean to the Vikings here. I think they have an advantage here because of what played out week one. The Vikings got up 28-0 against Atlanta. They didn't have to show anything. They just handed the ball off, and so they got to be very vanilla the entire game. Contrast that with Green Bay, where they had the game against the Bears. It could have gone either way, and because of that, I think if Zimmer's got some tricks that he needs to use in a close game, he's still got them in his bag. I'm going to lean to Minnesota.
And that's the reason? The tricks in his bag?
Well, he didn't have to show anything.
What's your power rating on these two teams?
I have them virtually equal. I do have Minnesota's half a point better, RJ.
Okay, and Green Bay's home field is what?
4, but it wouldn't be as great in a divisional game.
Wow, I've never heard you say that. Never. Like in all the years. So it's interesting he pulls it out here. Selective. It's unbelievable the stuff he'll reach to make. And it still doesn't make him make any sense. So let's call it 3.5.
Yes.
Okay. And which I think is absurd, but okay, fine. So now the question becomes, if the line's only 2.5, the Vikings have to be more than a little bit better, right?
Yes.
So are they?
No.
Or are you adding up the little bit better and saying on top of that, it's the tricks that Zimmer has up his sleeve?
I think the situational edge of not having to show anything week one is pretty big.
I disagree 150%. I think that that might mean something, though. Is Zimmer known for tricks? I mean, like a Nagy or something I could see, but I think the other side is we're going to excuse the Falcons, right? We're going to say the Falcons fell behind because of turnovers. Turnovers have a big element of randomness to them, right? So we didn't really get to see Atlanta because they were playing from behind. Well, doesn't the same thing apply to Minnesota? They got lucky to get up that much, and we didn't get to see how good they really are because they were at such an advantage having that big lead. Do we even know how good they are yet? I think we have so much less knowledge about Minnesota that that's more of a negative to Minnesota because it could be they're not near as good as we think. Versus the tricks that Zimmer's going to pull.
Tricks, right? Is the wrong word.
Well, what could it be? Because it's not as if you're going to scheme up a certain team, it's not as if you aren't going to do the first couple teams, if not all the teams in the preseason. You're going to have special things for each of them. I think we're talking tricks. And usually the tricks come when you have a complete new offense, except the Vikings offensive coordinator started at the end of last year.
Yeah, last 3 weeks.
So what are we talking about? See, I think Fez had such a good first segment. It was one of his best that he got too confident. You know, like he's dancing on the wire, kicking one leg out. He says, take away the net. Well, kaboom.
It's the Leon Lett, and you just Don BB'd him in the Super Bowl. Guys, the Pittsburgh Steelers are looking to bounce back after a blowout loss to the New England Patriots last Sunday night. They are a 3.5-point favorite hosting the Seattle Seahawks on pregame.com.
And I like Pittsburgh in this game, and it's all about Seattle being overrated. So a little bit under the radar, Seattle beat the Bengals by 1 point, but Seattle really played a horrible game. They got outgained by 200 yards. They easily could have lost that game at home, and because of that, I'm going to go ahead and look to Pittsburgh.
What was the line?
Seattle was laying 9.5.
So they fell short by?
8.5 points.
And how much did Pittsburgh fall short by?
By 24 points.
Okay, so, but somehow the story is how bad Seattle is.
Well, I think everybody saw, I know Pittsburgh got crushed by New England, but for whatever reason, New England, for the most part, has been a house of horrors for the Pittsburgh
Steelers. I'm confused. What was the line in that game? It was five and a half.
It was 5.5, yeah.
Did you have your biggest bet so far this calendar year on the Pats?
I should have, but no, I did not bet them.
So if you're telling me that we're excusing, here's a new rule. You can't excuse a result as obvious unless you have a ticket that is a monster bet. Because even if you think this team is supposed to win, you're only thinking it's like two extra points, right? 1.5 or
right.
Two. So if a team's supposed to win enough for you to bet it, you can say that, but it doesn't mean all that much to say, oh, the fact they won by 30 doesn't matter because I bet it. Well, the line was 5. You thought it should be 6.5, right? That's right. Why you bet it. It's some hypothetical. So you better come in $10,000 or more, because Fez is a big better, with a ticket, put it on the table and say, that doesn't count because, look, I knew it was going to happen.
Fair enough.
Right? Otherwise, how can you say that, hey, don't really count that because it was expected? Well, you're in the business, Mr. Fezzik, of making money off of what you can see happening in the future. How much did you make? 0.0. So how expected was it?
I was not surprised
that
Pittsburgh got crushed. It was within the realm.
You thought at most, everything's in the realm of possibility. Listen, this is the time you back down. You have no point. If you think you do, keep going. I'll keep burying the shovel, keep putting dirt on top if you want. But this makes zero sense. If you thought the chance of the Pats winning by even 6 was 54.5%, you would have bet the Pats.
Yes.
Thus, when they win by almost 30 or whatever, that's unexpected.
It was unexpected.
And it was more of, it was even a poor performance in Seattle.
That's where I'm going to disagree.
How
because,
so?
Because I was not surprised that Pittsburgh lost by a lot.
But somehow you didn't bet it.
Well, I would not have been surprised if they'd found a way to win big. So there was a lot of volatility.
Under that theory, you're saying that you wouldn't have been surprised at anything.
I would have been.
So the game could mean nothing because nothing would surprise you.
Well, what would have surprised me more is if Seattle would have lost outright.
No, I didn't ask that. I'm saying by your definition, the Pats winning big, Pittsburgh pulling the upset, or it being a close game, none of it would have surprised you. Thus, you're saying because of that, any result doesn't matter. It's still, even though you thought it was reasonable that it happened, it still happened.
And I still did downgrade Pittsburgh.
Okay, but somehow there was no conversation about that. It was just the fact Seattle somehow still won the game. In the NFL, they won the game, but that's the story? Why? Because the duct tape shoe guys are on Pittsburgh, right or wrong? That every half a sharp you know is on Pittsburgh,
yes.
Right? And you're right there with them.
I've got double duct tape on me. Yes, I'm on Pittsburgh.
Well, here we go. All right, guys, if you've never heard that before, that's called the green button. It's green, and it makes this sound, and it's a button. And that means whenever someone makes a pick around the wise guy table here in Vegas, anyone else can bet it. In fact, I've just bet it. It's $100, auto bet, no VIG. When we do this on the podcast, we bet 300, but the Fox suit said, listen, you're going to make people uncomfortable, so we only do the 100. But I think the Steelers are in trouble. If you look at the stats tell us, historically, if a team wins big, week one doesn't mean anything. Fade them the next week. But if a team loses big, it's about break even playing on them the next week, because the same logic would be go against the extreme result. Why? Because you often will see problems with a team that you didn't realize. I think Big Ben might have hit the wall. It's funny because when did you start thinking Brady, who eating kale shakes, all that, when were you first saying he would hit the wall?
6 years ago.
And how old was he?
36 and one half.
Okay, how old is Big Ben?
37.
And have you been concerned about his age?
I should not.
I think he eats bologna sandwiches and beer.
Yeah.
Right? So and Big Ben's a lumbering dude. He's taken a lot of hits. I've been there with him. I mean, I haven't fouled him, but I've been there with him. And I'll tell you this too. The O-line's getting old. They lost Munchak, maybe the best O-line coach in football. He's right up there. 5 years he was there. He turned that line around. I tell you, if I got the right odds of Pittsburgh going below 500 this year, maybe you ponder that for next week, or before the game, I guess we'll do it this week. I wouldn't mind getting a nice exposure on that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So we've talked a lot of NFL, but it is time for Best Bets, guys. And the first one we go to is college football with Brad Powers. No way it could possibly lose 50,000 team moneyline parlay that he does every single week.
But here's the part you missed. No way could it possibly lose, but sometimes it does. Last week,
it lost.
And it was one team by
one team by 1 point.
Ain't that the way? Those
the final leg of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was all in the book?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the concept, guys. This is almost like Fez in the first segment. He was so good. In the second segment, he said, take away the net. I'm going to bounce on one leg on this tightrope. And you heard what happened. Woo! So Brad is saying, I'm so good. I have all the college knowledge that I can bet enough favorites and they're going to win that you can make money. In fact, the parlays always have a plus money payoff.
Yep.
Last year, you won money doing this.
I did.
In front of the world.
I did.
Last week, you lost.
Yep.
This week.
We're going to win. I have $100 to win, 113, RJ.
Okay, so first off, first pick, Oklahoma State. They're minus 600.
And they're playing Tulsa, Oklahoma State, a 14-point favorite.
All right, so Okie State is leg number one. There's four legs. That's Vegas talk of parlays. Number two, Michigan State minus 700.
And their opponent, Michigan State's Arizona State. Michigan State's a 14.5-point favorite.
Now, that was your early best bet, right?
It was early line move best bet.
You gave it a 13.5. That's yep. Every Tuesday?
Yep.
It's up to what?
14.5.
Okay. Oklahoma State, Michigan State. Third one, La Tech. Who's that? Minus 500.
Yeah, and La Tech's playing Bowling Green right now. Louisiana Tech's an 11.5-point favorite.
Now, most people haven't heard of Bowling Green, but that's a special place in your heart, right?
It is. It's my alma mater.
Now, do you hate Ohio State because you couldn't get into Ohio State?
No, not at all.
Okay. But you did. You could have got in, right?
They didn't have my, well, I got a scholarship, journalism scholarship at Bowling Green.
So. Well, why don't you start reporting some things here then? All right, last one. Oh, my gosh. This is short.
Yeah, it is.
This is probably the shortest number you've had.
Yeah, it is. That's how confident
Virginia minus three.
Yeah.
Minus 300.
Yeah, and Virginia is playing Florida State. Virginia is a 7.5-point home favorite.
All right, so here's the four guys, the four legs. Okie State, Michigan State, La Tech, Virginia. Forget the spread. We don't care. If they all win, your $100 wins you $113. This is not easy. What we're doing here is saying, you guys want favorites? You want these parlays? We're going to show you you can win, but it ain't easy.
Guys, we now go to best bets, and we start with Steve Fezzik. Fez, what's your best bet?
All right, and Fez, here's the important part on the best bets. You're betting them, right? We bet each other. I appreciate the other shows, but what happens when they're wrong?
Nothing.
Nothing. When we're wrong, not only don't we get paid, they still get paid when they're wrong. It's not even that we don't get paid. It's that we got to pay somebody else. It's a double whammy. So to me, that fact how important it is that when we have an opinion, we bet on it. It's a true differentiator.
What are you doing? Wise guy don't carry his money in a wallet. Hey, wise guy carries money in a roll.
I like Detroit plus 1.5 against the Chargers. I bet Detroit, RJ, and I'd prefer to say I bet against the Chargers than I bet on Detroit because this is a Charger fade bet. It is all about the Charger injuries. Now, everyone knows that Gordon isn't playing. He's not injured. He's sitting out. But you look at that injury list, the tight end Hunter Henry, he's out. The best lineman for the Chargers, he's out. Now their number two wide receiver, Williams, he's unclear whether he's going to play. There's guys all over the defense that are injured. And at some point, if you have so many holes to fill as a coaching staff, you're so distracted trying to come up with the right game plan to adjust for all this. Hey, maybe Austin Ekeler has a huge game. Maybe I lose, but I will take my chances with what's left of this Charger team and fade them and bet the Detroit Lions plus 1.5. And that's what I did.
Wow, that's a professional presentation. That Adderall's doing you good, Fez. Wow. Now, here's what I'll say. Fez brought this up on the podcast, and it was a new concept. I love them. I've been betting since I was 14 years old, over 30 years, and still new things. And Fez is much older. New things, right, Fez?
Every day.
So, and now the first thing today is how much he loves Adderall. No, we're joking. He's just all pepped up. How many Mountain Dews today?
Two.
He goes, two. It's like, it seems like it might be more than two. Yeah. But here's the concept that he hit us with, and it was great. We've talked about cluster injuries for years and here on the show for a year. What does that mean? If you have three linemen out, it's 1 + 1 + 1 = 6 because there's a compounding effect. Because you can't compensate. Like you might put the tight end over the left tackle if he's out, but now the right tackle's out. What do you do? So I never thought of it where if you have on the same side of the ball a bunch of injuries, if it's not even in the position group, it's also less so, but a compounding effect. And then if you think about for the whole team, the distractions, the coaches trying to compensate in so many different places is a compounding effect. So I think the Chargers in this case meet that criteria. And I also think injuries like this, the non-big name ones, the market doesn't often account for fully. So betting on that information is often a winner. Good stuff from Fez.
All right, time for another best bet here on Straight Out of Vegas. RJ, the voice of Vegas, what's your best bet?
Now listen, I was really thinking of passing because I've had so many. Jonas has been sitting on his 2-2 record for 11 months. Yep. But apparently, you're going to have a best bet on Monday.
That's the rumor. Yeah,
so
Monday.
Who could miss the show on Monday?
You can't.
Almost impossible. Mine's easy. There's an unbelievable trend in Denver. It's almost beyond comprehension. For 30 years, the first 2 weeks of the season, this is week two, when Denver plays a home game, they're 33-3. Now, against the spread, they're about 66%. Why? What's the rationale? It's fairly simple. I was talking on New York radio to a former professional football player. He agreed with me. He said, the altitude and the teams are not fully in game shape. So what happens? That home advantage of Denver is even more potent, even more important those first 2 weeks. And oh, by the way, I have a 33-3 situation and I'm getting points. Denver, RJ Bowes, best bet.
If you missed any of today's show, including multiple best bets and your chance to make a little bit of coin, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are Straight Out of Vegas back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.